It's 1244. It's Intermezzo on 90.7 KRWG. It's my pleasure to welcome into our studios, back into our studios, Pancho Romero. Frank Pancho Romero, I believe it is.
That's right.
The trumpet professor here at New Mexico State University, first trumpet player in the Las Cruces Symphony Orchestra, and member of a number of other ensembles. We're going to talk about those. Welcome, Pancho Romero.
It's good to be here. Thank you for asking.
Great to have you here. And you're playing the piece we just heard this weekend with the New Horizons Symphony Orchestra. Tell us a little bit about Johann Nepomuk Hummel.
Well, he was a Hungarian composer, pianist primarily. And at a very early age, his father was a musician, as we were speaking a little while ago. And he moved him to Vienna, where he met Mozart, studied with Mozart, and became one of the finest pianists in Europe during that time. And during that time that he was composing, he was also a contemporary of Beethoven, you know. So, you know, hanging around with Mozart and Beethoven, you're bound to become a good musician.
And this piece is one of the most famous trumpet concertos in the repertoire, it seems to me.
It is. It is. There were three pieces that were written about that time. The Neruda trumpet concerto, the Haydn trumpet concerto, which is probably the most famous, yeah. And the Hummel.
Yeah. And, all right, let's go back a little bit in time. When did you first play this?
I probably attempted this when I was in college here at New Mexico State. This is an interesting story. I first heard this while I was at Allstate, I would say 1970 or so, and a good friend of mine who became a good friend here at New Mexico State, Danny Abamoto, was trying out trumpets at a display that we had at Allstate, and I heard the third movement, and he was just playing around, and it intrigued me, and I went up to him and asked him, you know, what are you playing? Really a great piece, and ever since I've loved playing this piece.
You come from a musical family with many members involved in music education. Tell us a little bit about your background.
I do. My grandfather was a violinist. He came from Taos, and he started a community band in Taos. From there, he moved to Cimarron. He had three sons, of which all became band directors in the state. My Uncle John, my father, Lethra, and my Uncle Clarence. My Uncle Clarence is the only one that's still alive. But they all became band directors. My father was in Las Vegas. My Uncle John was in El Rito. And my Uncle Clarence taught in Hatch and then Bayard. He retired from Bayard. Huh. So, and from their family, we had probably, half a dozen band directors that came from them. But most of them were musicians in high school. Most of the children, most of the siblings.
Wow. So cousins, brothers,
absolutely.
Uncles,
at one point in time, we had eight cousins that were music educators in the state. So
wonderful. And when you all got together, did you play music?
No, we didn't. We didn't. We listened to my grandfather when we went to visit him. That is interesting. Most of us were brass players, so I'm not sure, you know.
Would have been loud.
It would have been loud. Mm-hmm. And most of the time when we had family get-togethers is when we were younger.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, of course. Once everybody spreads around the state, it's harder to get everyone together. So, Pancho, you are playing in the Las Cruces Symphony Orchestra for many years, also in the El Paso Opera Orchestra, El Paso Symphony Orchestra, the Juarez Symphony. These are all ensembles you have played with. Are you playing with
I play
them
with
now?
The El Paso Symphony from time to time when they need an extra. I just don't have the time to do my job here at New Mexico State and also playing the other orchestras full time, but I have played in Juarez and also the El Paso Opera.
And do a lot of jazz.
I do a lot of jazz. That's a love of mine. I do the jazz ensembles here at the university. And I try to balance my playing life between classical music and jazz.
Uh-huh. Huh. So when you start practicing each day, which do you go for first?
I actually do exercises with my students at 7:45 every morning. And it's just routines. And when I start my day, it's basically student related. So we'll play some jazz duets sometimes, and we'll play some classical duets, then go on to a lesson. I played jazz last Sunday at St. Paul's. That's the last time I played any jazz, but it comes to you.
Yeah, wow. Jazz and classical. So I have a question. Living in a very dry climate like this and having to keep your mouth in shape every day to play trumpet, how do you keep your lips from splitting? And
I don't have that problem. You know, I do have some students and other musicians that come into the area that do have that issue. Our problem is an altitude issue.
Oh.
You know, we played a concert with the symphony in Silver City, and we played Tchaikovsky too. And there's almost a 2,000-foot difference, and I could really feel the difference in altitude.
Huh.
You can't catch your breath sometimes, and the last page of the Tchaikovsky is pretty intense.
It is indeed, and I have to say, Pancho, I'm up in the balcony at the symphony concerts, and you turn quite red even at this altitude.
Right, well, that's just part of my physique. Yeah. I mean, it's nothing that, I'm not going to pass out or anything, don't worry.
Huh. Yeah, but the altitude in Silver City is even higher, huh? So that's the bigger issue
than
the dryness.
That's the issue for me. Mm-hmm. That's the issue for me.
Hmm. Tell us a little bit. We've got some time left. You have performed with not just the ensembles we've mentioned, classical and jazz, but Rafael Mendez, Ice Capades, Reba McEntire. This is just a small list. Rita Moreno, The Temptations, The Four Tops, The Supremes. I want to hear a little bit about your Motown and pop experiences.
Well, Rafael Mendez, when I was younger, well, much younger, came to play with my father's band in Las Vegas, and he gave me my first trumpet lesson.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, and I was very fortunate later on in life when I was a senior here at New Mexico State, Ron Tillman, who was our band director, brought Rafael Mendez, and I played a trio with him. And this was at the Pan American Center. So, played with him. After leaving school here, I went to the University of North Texas. Then I went on the road for a little while, then came back and settled in Albuquerque, where I started a group called the Albuquerque Jazz Orchestra. And with this group was like a core group to any group that would come into town. So Rita Moreno, I put the group together, heard the orchestra together for her concert in Albuquerque. Reba McEntire, I played with in Oklahoma. She was inducted into the Oklahoma Hall of Fame, and so that was a fun gig. It was different.
Yeah.
But through the course of time, you know, you just get to play with a lot of different people. Temptations I played with four times, I think. The original Temptations and Four Tops, and just recently with a much younger version of the group.
Huh. Wow. That's pretty exciting to get to do all those different kinds of gigs. And I guess when you're a brass player especially, you get to do that.
Yes, you do. Yeah. Yes, you do. I try to make sure that my students have those types of experiences as well. You know, you just can't make it these days as a classical trumpet player. You have to be able to play much wider variety of music.
Yeah, and I would think that for young people now, especially the film and the TV industries provide
Absolutely.
Some opportunities for
Absolutely.
For playing in the orchestras. Tell us about your experiences as a cultural envoy with the U.S. State Department.
Now, this is a very interesting story. I got a call from a colleague in Albuquerque telling me that there was an ad for a bilingual musician. And they really didn't say where this was going. And this was put out through the Lincoln Center. So I applied for this job. It was asking for a bilingual musician that would be interested in visiting a South American country. Didn't say much. So I applied. And at the time, Colombia and the United States were trying to come together and mend some discrepancies that they'd had in the past, and they were trying to develop a music program in Colombia, and the Ministry of Culture in Colombia was putting a lot of money into this. So they had me down there, and I worked in three municipalities. One was in Pereira, one was in Bogota area. I've been in Medellin, Colombia. So working with band directors and students for a week in each one of these municipalities, and they all concluded with a concert in the area. And that was a great experience. Well, the following year, Ken Van Winkle and I took down the symphonic band and played at the National Colombian Band Festival. Hmm. And great experience for the students.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They still come up and talk to me about that experience that they had.
Huh. And so when was that?
I started this in 2006, and I think we went over with the symphonic band in 2007.
So what are your thoughts about music education in this era of online learning and so many changes taking place in educational circles and discussions? But there's a certain amount of FaceTime that you just have to have as a musician.
It's all about FaceTime.
Yeah.
You really can't learn online. There are so many subtleties in our profession. You know, things don't change much. You know, instruments get better, but it's not like computers, you know. Mm-hmm. You still have to put in hours upon hours of practice time. You really have to have a tutor that can guide you in the right direction. And that's all we can do as music educators, is guide students in the right direction. You know, they have to do the practicing. You know, and it really doesn't get much easier. Mm-hmm. You put in the time, you reap the rewards.
Yeah. So there really haven't been that many changes in music education.
There have been in technology that has come around. There are a lot of apps that I use all the time in my office. Tuning apps.
Metronome apps.
Yeah. Metronome apps. Well, this Hummel concerto, I've been practicing it all week with an app called Smart Music.
Huh.
And it's an accompaniment program that follows you. And it's wonderful in that you can use that because you don't have access to an accompanist all the time.
Yeah.
So those things have changed, making it easier for us, but it's still one-on-one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've said this for years, that there is nothing like that relationship between a student and a teacher of music.
Absolutely.
It's a very intense and wonderful relationship that one develops over many years. So we've got a couple of minutes left. Tell us a little bit more about what's happening in the jazz ensembles here at New Mexico State.
I'm so glad you asked. We have a concert that's coming up on the 21st of November. It's called Migrations. We're bringing in a guest artist who was Bobby McFerrin's composer. Bobby McFerrin in 2007 commissioned this suite of pieces to be written by Fred Sturm, who is coming in. And it is samplings of indigenous music from throughout the world. Hmm. And he wrote 21 pieces. We're not playing all of the 21, but we are playing a sampling of these pieces. And they're just wonderful. Music from Laos, from the Appalachian Mountains, from
all over.
Yes, you know, it's just it's an experience that the students, again, being at a university, we're able to offer this type of experience for our students.
Yeah.
Something that they won't forget.
Yeah.
And to be with a composer that worked hand in hand with Bobby McFerrin. We tried to get Bobby here, but just couldn't afford him.
He is a fun guy to see or perform.
Incredible musician.
Yeah, yeah. He is really quite amazing. Wow, so that's coming up later this month. How big are the jazz ensemble? How many jazz ensembles are
there? We have two jazz ensembles, and they're normally 17 to 20 piece.
Uh-huh.
In a normal instrumentation, 5 saxophones, 4 trombones, 4 trumpets, and rhythm section.
And typically these students are also playing in the marching band and other ensembles?
Yes. Well, this Saturday, as an example, we have the Tournament of Bands, but we also have a performance at the Center for the Arts.
Jazz ensembles?
Mm-hmm, uh-huh. The jazz ensemble. Jazz ensemble one is playing. So they come from a 6:15 performance on the field to a 7:30 performance in the new Center for the Arts, back to the field for a 10 o'clock performance.
Wow.
So that's the life of a musician.
Uh-huh.
And we just do that.
Yep. And you bring music to people, and it's wonderful.
We try.
I've been talking with Pancho Romero. He's performing as the soloist with the New Horizons Symphony Orchestra under the direction of Mariana Gabi this Sunday at 3 o'clock. It's a free concert, I believe,
it is.
At the Atkinson Recital Hall. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.